It's Ham Radio with Neil Rapp. Here we go. Welcome to Ham Talk Live. Colin, let's talk. Neil's your guy. Ham Talk Live. Here we go on Ham Talk Radio.
Oh my goodness, the music still works. Hey everybody, it's Ham Talk Live, episode number 324. The Voice of America Museum Renovations and Hamvention Tours, recorded on April 8th, 2025. I'm your host, Neil Rapp, WB9VPG. Thanks for tuning in to this special episode of Ham Talk Live. Tonight we're joined by Lee Height, K8CLI, from the Westchester Amateur Radio Association and the National Voice of America Museum of Broadcasting in Westchester, Ohio. Well, it's been a while. Oh my gosh, it's been a few months short of 2 years since the last episode of Ham Talk Live. And I know many of you, especially lately, have commented that you missed the show, as do I. But unfortunately, there's just too many things going on in life, and just wasn't time to do the show anymore, but I did say I would do a few episodes now and then when time permitted, and I had some time, so here we are. And couple of things that are of some strong interest to the show here. There's been a lot of news circulating around the status of Voice of America and the renovations to the museum, and the museum was shut down for a while, and so there's a lot of concern out there about things shutting down, and we're going to put all that to rest. So I thought it was a good time to come back and talk about it. And as I was testing the setup just about an hour ago, I noticed that the live stream feature is missing. I did some research, and it turns out that while the show was on hiatus, Spreaker dropped the live feature, which was the whole point of the show back in the day. So my apologies if you tuned in live and didn't find the show. I'll try to find a better solution for Hamvention Eve. Maybe we'll do YouTube. Maybe I can stream it over to YouTube as I record it and do it that way. But we'll see how that goes. But anyway, let's talk with Lee here. Lee Height, K8CLI, is the lead docent and a board member at the National Voice of America Museum of Broadcasting in Westchester, Ohio. He's a retired electronics engineer with a passion for investigating technical issues, occasionally surrounded with mystery, and often bridging several fields of technology. Lee, you always have interesting stories to tell. When I think of a historian, I think of you. And anytime somebody goes to the museum, I'm like, you got to find Lee. So, Lee, thank you for coming back on the show tonight.
Good evening, Neil, and thank you for the invitation. And hello to you and everyone out there listening. It's good to be back. And, yes, a lot going on at the museum. We were shut down for renovations for a good 7 months. When we got a really nice grant from the state of Ohio. And we did special efforts to maximize the value of that grant. And we anticipated being shut down for maybe 2 to 3 months. Well, shame on us. It was a lot bigger project. I worked every day, Christmas Day, New Year's Eve day, as did others. But it lasted 7 months just to get everything done. So we did a lot. We needed a lot of infrastructure. We had no central air conditioning, no central heat. We were surviving off of a commercial or residential furnace for most of the museum, and it didn't do the job. So we put in zone heating. I think we've got 20 or 21 individual air conditioners and heat pumps for heat and AC. And they work marvelously. They're just wonderful, very, very incredibly efficient. The new ones are just amazing, efficient. And so we're thrilled to get that. That was the big part of the renovation. Yeah, that was a biggie. And then we could put in all new carpet in the almost all new carpet in the museum. That was a big project. All the rooms got repainted. And another big thing, really, I noticed it again today when I was there, that they put in a drop ceiling. We never had drop ceilings. And it was the old original transmitting facility. So the heat went way, way up. And boy, with a new drop ceilings, I told Mark, I said, wow, it's really nice in here. And he says, yeah, you know, you got drop ceilings, you've got good heat. So we're thrilled with all the infrastructure, new lighting in a lot of areas, that kind of thing. We're thrilled.
Well, we'll talk some more about the upgrades here in just a bit. But as we said, the museum was shut down, for 7 months. And then the election hit. And so the U.S. government announced a slew of cuts. And one of the things that initially was cut and now is back, I guess, included the current Voice of America service. So I know Executive Director Jack Dominic dropped me an email and said, you know, spread the word here. There's no danger of closing. So tell us a little bit about what you know on that and clear up anything about the status of the museum.
No, I'd be happy to, Neil. We get a lot of emails and a lot of phone calls now about the current administration shutting down the agency. And it's important to say that the museum is a standalone 501c3 nonprofit. We have never been connected to VOA headquarters. We have never received any federal funding from VOA or any other federal agency. So we are completely independent, and we are 100% not affected by the actions going on in Washington, D.C. right now. We have always told the VOA story, and we will continue to tell the VOA story. And I'm reminded when we first went on the air, February 1st, 1942, right after Pearl Harbor, the opening broadcast to introduce the Voice of America to the world was, the news may be good, the news may be bad, we will tell you the truth. And while that's a catchy phrase, you have to think about it a little bit. But there's a lot of wisdom in that phrase, because when VOA went on the air, we were losing World War II big time. In fact, for the first 2 years, almost all the broadcast was bad information about the United States. Battles we lost, how many soldiers were killed, tanks we lost, airplanes we lost. And it wasn't until 2 years after going on the air that we started turning around the war, and we actually had some good news to report. So I know I get a lot of questions as a docent about, well, why do you say, well, it's not us, the museum. We try to understand what headquarters does and tell that story. But why do they tell bad news? It's the truth. When it all comes down to it, the VOA mission is to tell unbiased truth. So you're going to tell both sides of the story. And I think that bothers some people when they hear uncomplimentary things about the United States. But that's what they do. And particularly right now, when they went off the air, they were translating in over 60 languages and dialects, a huge audience out there. The daily or the weekly listening audience for VOA was over 220 million people a week. And when you back up to the parent organization, which is USAGM, United States Agency for Global Media, they have over 440 million people on a weekly basis. That includes Radio Free Asia, Radio Free Europe, Radio Marti, and all of that. So it's a huge audience. And I have never met anyone that really understands the breadth of the agency and the need. I tell you, Neil, if just be in the museum for a weekend, we get lots of people coming in that have immigrated, but they may have been living here for up to 40 years, 30, 20, 10 years. They've been living here, and they finally heard about the museum. They wanted to come out and see it. And they'll tell their story. And we in this country do not understand what it's like to live in a repressive government at all, because they start telling their story and it's just heartbreaking. So when they heard about freedom through Voice of America, they immigrated. I've had people in from Vietnam, from China, Ukraine, that almost break down and cry when they realize that the message they heard came out of this station. I mean, it was authored in Washington, D.C., but it was broadcast out of Westchester, or, you know, Mason at the time. So the importance of telling the truth remains. That'll never change. So what we're doing in the museum, we tell the story, and right from day one, it really hasn't changed.
Yeah. I know, you know, I've had a chance to see a couple of those stories of, you know, the blanket radios, the little radio mm-hmm. that you hide under the blanket, and how, you know, people just relied on that service to learn English, to learn the truth, all those kinds of things. And like you said, they're very emotional. They're very elated to see everything that you know, was delivering the news to them at the time. And go ahead.
The task of effectively communicating, they didn't understand right at the get-go when they went on the air in 1942. It took a while to realize that the American language does not translate into all these different languages. You know, idioms don't translate.
Yeah,
And we talk fast and compound sentences, etc. So very, very early, they put on the effort to come up with a special dictionary. It was called Special English, but they took the entire American dictionary and reduced it down to 1,500 words that 100% translate into all these different languages. I mean, we don't realize Russia does not have the word the in their language. They don't have the word science. Their understanding of science is very different than ours. You're either a chemist or a physicist or a mm-hmm. mathematician. You're not an engineer, you know. You're not broad-based. So it's important to be global. And I think that's one thing the museum teaches you, is the global planet that we live on. You know, we are, what, 4% of the world population? I don't know, something like that. And there's a lot going on all over the world that don't see. We don't see. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's exciting.
Well, let's transition over to the renovations. I know my favorite one was the air conditioning, because I've been in that place in the middle of summer, and it was rather toasty. And when the shack was renovated, the ham shack, you know, were able to add that air conditioning, and boy, that was nice. But now, it's the whole place, and everything's been repaved and all this stuff. So tell us about some more of these upgrades. I know we've got the infrastructure and the generator too. I don't know if we ever talked about the generator, but so talk about all these new upgrades to the museum.
Oh, what's sure. changed? Yeah. We do have a whole building generator that comes on every Wednesday for a test, and we'll run the museum for a while. So it's run on a regular basis. It kicks in and you don't even know it. I mean, the local power company could drop out and this thing kicks in so fast that you get a little tiny blink in the lights and that's all you ever see. And we're up and going. So that's good. In addition to all of the HVAC, the air conditioning and heating, which was really important, and a huge part of the grant was spent on that, was wiring. Mark and his contract group pulled out all the old wiring, and we have all brand new wiring in the conduit. And you should see the wiring that got pulled out. It was cloth covered.
Oh my goodness.
There were burnt marks in it, and you're going like, how did this survive? Well, it survived because it was in a metal conduit. Otherwise, there would have been a big fire. But there was also not a ground wire run in a lot of it. It was two-wire wiring. So we are now fully compliant with all the electrical codes. We never had a fire alarm system, so a brand-new alarm was put in every single room, and all the lights and sensors are installed, and so we're thrilled about that. That was a biggie. The other thing that is a big improvement is we were not 100% ADA handicap compliant. We had a ramp on the control room, but that's all. So we put in a brand new ADA ramp from the platform, the main floor in the museum, down into the Crosley room in the college transmitter, that whole area. So you can come in at the entrance now, which is level from the parking lot, come right in and see the entire museum in a wheelchair. And it's all very, very accessible. So we're very happy to get that. The parking lot was repaved, a huge job on that. We paved all the way back through the antenna switch back to the township property line, and included several handicapped parking spots, which we sort of had, but it wasn't very obvious. But they're put in. They're very nice now. And it's just nice to drive in and not be going through potholes. You know, it sounds simple, but it's very nice.
You still have to watch out for the killer geese, though.
You do. We do. We have
those killer geese.
Yep. There could be several hundred of them out there, and all of a sudden they decide to cross the driveway, and they don't care about you. They're just going to waddle on through at their own speed. And the new exhibits, we are the Voice of America Museum of Broadcasting. So obviously our charter is to tell the VOA story. But we're also a museum of broadcasting. So what we have enhanced considerably is the subject of broadcasting, particularly coming through the 20s and 30s and 40s and up to today. And one of the things that started with local radio station WLW early was sound effects. When you're radio, I mean, they call it theater of the mind. You have to use your mind to imagine what's going on. So they implemented sound effects. And so we built over the course of being shut down a huge what's called Foley Lab. The gentleman by the name of Foley coined the word that sound effects, as you add sound effects on, it's a science. It really, it's an art than a science. It's learned, but you learn by doing. So people have a blast going in there. They it's all hands on. They can do it all. And it's one of the things that people don't want to leave. They're in there playing, and they want to keep playing with all the sound effects. So that works out.
Now you can't hear it, but I'm sitting here playing with my sound effects while we're talking about this. I have the sound effects here. We can even play the Baofeng song. It's been a while since we played the Baofeng song. There we go. Okay. So we got our sound effects in.
good. And the exciting thing, Neil, I haven't talked about is Joe Gruber, our chief technology officer, designed a STEM lab, a radio STEM lab, several years ago, and it was popular. It worked, and people enjoyed it. It was on the second level of the museum. A lot of steps to get there. And that just didn't work for the general population that comes in the museum. So we renovated a room and moved a STEM lab downstairs and greatly enhanced it. Joe has done an awesome job enhancing the STEM lab. So STEM groups from around the area are more than welcome to come in and learn how radio works. I mean, one of the messages is you can't go 5 minutes every day without radio. It's either Wi-Fi, cellular, Bluetooth, you know, you can name them all. But radio is probably not well understood by most people in terms of its impact it's having on society. So we've taken on the task, and we will explain that. That's today. What's coming down the road is we're in major planning right now for the new STEM lab. And what we're going to do is we have used AI to generate pictures of all the luminaries that developed radio. Hertz, Faraday, Volta, and all that. And at each station, we have experiments that you can operate yourself to see how what Hertz did to find out that you could push an electromagnetic wave through the air and actually do it with we have a spark transmitter, a very active functional spark transmitter, which is how Hertz did it originally. And so we have luminary pictures on the wall. They look like they were photographed yesterday. It doesn't look like these old-fashioned black and white, ugly-looking things of these luminaries, these inventors and people that discovered it. What we're doing is we've received a very nice grant to enhance the STEM lab, and we're going to animate these luminaries so that you could sit down and have a conversation with Mr. Faraday or Hertz or Benjamin Franklin or any of the people that contributed to understanding magnetism and electricity, which eventually developed into the electromagnetic wave. So that's in works. It's expensive to do. It's very technical. But we will have probably the most advanced STEM lab, radio STEM lab, not STEM lab, but radio STEM lab in the whole, probably the world, because no one else is doing what we're doing. And we think it's very important because a podcast, that's radio. What we're doing tonight, it's radio. I mean, yep. Without radio, we wouldn't be anywhere. So that's new, working on that. And we, as I mentioned, we're putting in a very nice radio station. It won't be on the air, but it will look like it's live on the air. So people understand what was the world like before digital. We don't have no flat screens, you know. It's all analog, yeah. analog control board, reel-to-reel tape. We've got a wire recorder because wire was used all the way up into the 40s. So we've got that. We've got cart machines. We've got the big 22-inch turntables. We've got transmitters. We've got a big audio rack. I mean, it will be just all you had to do is put it on the air, and it would be a very functional radio station. So that's another way to discuss broadcasting and how it all came about, because it's been going on for a very long time. And then we did enhance the Crosley display. We probably have the largest collection of Crosley items in the country. And we've added things. We're going to be adding more things. We've added appliances. He was in the appliance business. And so we've added a kitchen counter and cabinets to the museum. So lots of fun stuff. I mean, people come in now and they don't leave.
absolutely. And the appliances, my favorite is the refrigerator with the radio built in. Got to have the radio. Well, Lee, we're going to take a minute here to take a break. And it's been such a long time since we've done the show and we're not using sponsors because, you know, it's just every once in a while. But we do have a minute to take to go back and look at an old N9 GSU ham radio joke of the week. So we will do that, and then we'll come back. We'll talk more about some of the broadcasting features coming to the museum and what's coming up for Hamvention this year at the museum. But right now we're going to go to the ham radio joke of the week.
Now it's time for the Ham Talk Live Ham Radio Joke of the Week, a part of the show where Rick tells us a ham radio joke. The Ham Talk Live Ham Radio Joke of the Week is brought to you by QRM Labs. Now, here's Rick Garrett in 9 GSU with today's Ham Talk Live Joke of the Week.
I was so excited when I heard my wife say she was going to Dayton to look for an antenna. I was very disappointed when I realized what she really said. She was going to look after Aunt Anna.
This has been the Ham Talk Live Ham Radio Joke of the Week with Rick Garrett in 9 GSU. Tune in again next week for another joke from Rick.
Coming to you live from the glass-enclosed Faraday box, here's Neil Rapp with more Ham Talk Live.
And welcome back to Ham Talk Live. And while we're talking about the N9 GSU joke of the week, our friends over at Ham Radio Guy, Marvin Turner, W0MET, Rick's over there telling the Ham Radio joke of the week now. So make sure you check that out. I was on his podcast last night, and so that'll be coming out here in the next day or so. But Rick's over there telling jokes on the Ham Radio Guy podcast. So if you miss the jokes, why you can check those out over there. Well, we're here with Lee Height, KHCLI, from the Voice of America Museum of Broadcasting in Westchester, Ohio. And you know, the official name is the National Voice of America Museum of Broadcasting. And as you said, that's really being emphasized. So tell us a little more about this new studio coming, and can I run Ham Talk Live from it? I remember how to use reel to reel.
Well, probably not, but we thought about putting in a podcast station. We did consider putting in a live operational podcast station. One thing we should mention, Neil, with this being Ham Talk Live, is our amateur radio club, the Westchester Amateur Radio Association. It's been a while since you've had a podcast, and the club totally modernized the ham station. Oh, yeah. It is absolutely awesome. Huge flat screens, new transmitters, we got new antennas. We had a donation of just an awesome crank over antenna. All the antennas have been renovated, and the club took on the task of being a volunteer examiner, and so they do VE exams once a month, and it turned out to be very popular. We get a large turnout. I'm one of the members, and we will get a lot of people coming in on a Saturday morning for testing. Most of the time, almost everyone passes. You know, once in a while they don't, but they then continue. They'll come back and test for a upgrade license. And also, as a reminder, the Ham Club, the Ham Shack, has open shack night on Wednesday nights. So anyone from the public, any amateur radio operator, is welcome to come in, operate the station, operate any of the transmitters, whatever band happens to be open and active at the time. And we do get the public coming. A lot of club members come in on Wednesday night. Open shack night is Wednesday night, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. And so you're more than welcome if you're in the area vacationing. Try to make it on a Wednesday night and stop in, see everybody. They'd be thrilled to see you.
Oh yeah, it's a great. It was great to start with, and now it's even better. And I'm going to talk here in a little bit about an opportunity for some young people to come operate the shack. So we'll save that for the end here, but. Lots of opportunities. And speaking of, one great opportunity to come operate the shack and check everything out is during Dayton Hamvention. So tell us about the plans for this year's Hamvention open house.
Yes, we are very excited. We have a very successful open house during Hamvention. We open Thursday evening. We start Thursday. We're open Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We start Thursday at noon, and noon until I believe 9 o'clock, and the rest of the week, Friday, Saturday, it's noon till 9 o'clock, and then Sunday it's noon till I think we close at 5 p.m. But we have a huge turnout. We've had upwards of 400 hams come in that will come down either on their way home or just come down for the evening, because Hamvention shuts down fairly early. And so they've got a free evening, and we're just packed. We're just packed. So lots of things to see. Come on down and see the new ham shack, see the new antennas, and see the museum. There's just a lot of fun things for hams to do in the museum itself. So, yeah, we're very excited. We'll be open.
Yeah, always a great time, and I'm not sure if I'm going to make it this time. I'm usually there every Saturday, but during Hamvention, but have some other obligations this year. But I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to schedule a different night to come, but always run into a lot of folks at the museum, and it's always a great time and a chance to get in there and run some pileups and and operate and check everything out. And, you know, so if you're traveling and you're in the area, it's not that far to make the drive down on an evening and or come a day early or stay a day later and go check out the museum. So want to encourage everybody to do that. And, of course, the websites, you can find all that information. VOAmuseum.org and Whiskey Charlie 8 Voice of America, WC8VOA.org. And I'm sure all that's posted there, and you can find out more about it. So, Lee, anything else that we need to talk about here before we talk about a special event coming up here at the museum?
Well, I would encourage everyone to come see the Renovated Museum. It's a brand new museum, a lot more inviting, a lot more accessible, and we love suggestions. If you have a suggestion, we want to know about it. I'm the curator for the museum, and I get a lot of comments. Why don't you do this, or why don't you do that, or why don't you do it this way? Those are highly valuable. I just can't wait to hear those things, because it's an outsider's viewpoint. I'm inside. I'm there every day. You know, I don't see the through the same eyes that other people see through. So when you're in the museum, feel free to make a comment, leave me a note, or send me an email. I really do want to hear your comments and suggestions on what you like and what you don't like, what you think we could do better, etc. We're still improving and innovating, if you will, And we'll make a major announcement when the new STEM lab is ready. We're probably a year away on that. That's good. That's a major task to do all that. But we'll make an announcement when that new STEM lab is radio STEM lab is ready. And other than that, it's just a great visit. It's very family friendly. We're getting more and more families in, and the kids are finding things to do. The kids love the sound effects lab. They like the hands-on part of the Crosley exhibit. And the radio thing is a lot more people-friendly. So there's a lot of things to do. Yeah. So, yeah, come on in. Open. Yeah. Normally, other than Hamvention, it's open every Saturday and Sunday, noon to 4 p.m. So if you're in the area, stop in.
Okay. Well, I think we've hit about everything there, Lee. So thank you so much for coming on and being with us tonight and talk about that. And I've got another announcement here. I actually made it last night, but we'll make it here too. The Voice of America Museum is going to be the host of the brand new Youth on the Air Junior Camp. That's coming up July 25th through the 27th this year, 2025. Now you probably have heard about the region wide camp that we've had. This will be the fifth year. It's going to be out in Denver in June this year. But this is a sub regional camp. So this is geared just to the U.S. And this one is a 3-day long weekend for licensed TAMs under the age of 15. So all of our region-wide camps are for the ages of 15 through 25. But this one is going to be for those hams under the age of 15. And we've had a lot of people wanting to come to camp, but they're 10 and 11 and they can do the ham radio bit. It's just, you know, a different social group. And so we're very excited to get this started, and we are, you know, just piloting this. So we're trying to find our way through this. It's kind of a newer thing that we haven't done even worldwide a whole lot. So we're kind of navigating that. But since, you know, you got to travel and everything, we're going to ask that a parent accompany the young ham. The parent does not need to have a ham radio license, though, but the child does need to be licensed in order to do some of the activities. So we're going to do plenty of operating at the club station, and we're going to practice some contesting skills. We're going to build a kit, do some direction finding out in the front yard while the museum is open, so we don't interfere with the museum operation. And then we will also take a tour of the museum and have some social gatherings. And the applications are going to be open anytime. In fact, it may already be there by the time you hear this, at youthontheair.org. The cost is just $100 per person. So it's $100 for the youth, $100 for the adult or adults that come along. And then you also have to get to and from Cincinnati. But we take care of everything from when you step foot in Cincinnati until you leave Cincinnati. Food, hotel, the whole bit. And thanks greatly to ARDC, Amateur Radio Digital Communications, for funding the junior camp. So thanks to them. And I know Lee, you've been there when the bigger kids are there. This will be a great chance for the younger kids to show up.
It will. And if any of you that have ever been in the previous Youth on the Air, Neil Rapp is just awesome. He puts on the most amazing educational experience. I mean, he's a professional professor now in terms of teaching, but when it comes to doing amateur radio education, you don't want to miss this thing. Neil, no one does it better. I don't know how else to say it, but no one else does it. You've got to come experience it. Now that it's under age 15, it'll be a whole brand new experience for people. So Neil's awesome at this.
Well, thank you so much. But yeah, it's just going to be a little miniature camp, and that'll kind of feed into the bigger camp when you get older. And so we're really looking forward to bringing that to the Voice of America Museum and kind of getting all the bugs worked out of it this year. And then our plan is to kind of make this a camp in a box, so we can just send a box of stuff to a club and they can put on the camp in different locations. And so to cut down on some of the travel. But this is your chance to come to the VOA Museum. It's always a special time. You know, we've enjoyed being at some of the colleges and some of the other places, but boy, we miss being at the museum, and it's going to come back to the museum here in a few years. So we'll be grateful for that as well. Well, we don't have sponsors for the show anymore, but let me thank ICOM America and Tower Electronics for their past sponsorship and encourage you to check them out at icomamerica.com and pl-259.com. But we do have a special sponsor tonight. At least that's what Andy KK4LWR says, that our show should have a new sponsor. So we have a new sponsor. It's Tree Electronics. It's our new sponsor. If you can't afford a tower, a tree has you covered. And you can visit them online at so-239.com. Or, at least that's what Andy said. So, you know, you can't always trust everything that Andy says. But all right. Well, that's a wrap for this edition of Ham Talk Live. Thanks to my guest, Lee Height, KCLI, and everybody out there in cyberspace for listening. And invite you back. We're going to do another one, Hamvention Eve. That's May 15th, Thursday, May 15th at 9 p.m. Eastern time. Hopefully we can get a live version of that going. But if not, we'll try to get that posted just as close to 9 o'clock as we can. But it'll come to you live from Dayton, Ohio, and get you ready for your trip to Hamvention, or you can attend vicariously through us. So for a list of all of our past and upcoming shows, go to hamtalklive.com. So for now, this is Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, saying 7375, and may the good DX be yours.
For 73. To you and your family, I'll be seeing you further down the log. Your 73's to you and your family, I'll be seeing you further down the log.
It's hard to believe that you're antipodean, cause you sound just like a local up here. But why don't those whistling Mediterraneans check it with frequency?